Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith does not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brother." Now, some of you will remember I spoke on this not too long ago. And basically, Simon Peter was the one that when Jesus said to the disciples, "I'm getting ready to go to the cross, but every one of you are going to deny me." And what did Peter do? "Not me. Hey, if I have to die for you, I will do that." And Jesus' response was, "Hey, God, Satan wants to have the right to show who you are and where you are and what you are." And I had a sifter when I spoke on it, if you remember. And as I shook it, what happened? The big stuff came to the top, the little stuff went out, and you could sort out what was one thing from the other. And so Jesus was simply saying, "Hey, he thinks he can expose you for who you are," and he did, by the way, because when the time came, Peter denied him three times. And the third time, he ran out and he wept. He realized how much he could fail. However, can you imagine how different it would have been if Peter had said, "God, I want to stand with you if you'll give me the strength." Instead, he was going to do it all in his strength and all his way. And so, as in the end, he says, Jesus could have said, "Satan, you can't sift him."
That's right.
Couldn't have he?
Yes.
Yeah. Could have said no. However, he didn't. Why not? Because God's a big bad meanie?
No.
He knew what was there already.
Right.
And he's saying, "I want it to be revealed so you can be set free of that."
Amen.
And so, sometimes we don't understand why God doesn't deliver us from problems. Anybody ever have that?
Yeah.
Any of you ever had all kinds of pressure hit you? And you can feel like a Peter because he felt like such a failure. And as we talked about it the last time, it isn't too much longer. What does he do? He say, "I'm going back to fishing because that's what I'm good at. This Jesus thing I don't know much about, but I'm going back." And so Peter went back to fishing, and what happened? Jesus came and sought him because the brokenness had happened so he could be healed and minister to his brethren. So there are times I believe God takes us through some really tough stuff.
Yes.
Notice I said God takes us through.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because God doesn't let us just suffer needlessly or without purpose or intent. He is with us when we go through it. Now, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I don't look it up in my Bible ahead of time because I want to be in pace with you so I'll know when you have it. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to read verses 24. It goes, "Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood that is sprinkled, that speaks of a better thing than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape who refused him that spake on the earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, But when he promised, he said, once again, I shall shake not only the earth, but the heavens. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of the things that are shaken as the things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken to remain. When we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved, for let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Basically, here's what God's saying. There's going to come a time when I'm not just going to shake. By the way, he's referring to Moses when he gave the law. What happened? The mountain was on fire and the earth literally shook. Okay? And he's saying, listen, that was pretty horrific, because it said even Moses shook when God was displaying himself there. And so he said, but there's going to be another shaking that is going to be far greater than that, that shakes everything that's in the heavenlies, and it's, he's going to do that in the last days, he says. So I believe there is a season when we can go through a real shaking time, okay? And once again, it's not because God doesn't like us, but once again, you find we come out of that with a holy reverence for God. Okay? And we can go through those ordeals and come out of it with a holy reverence for God. And I believe, at least in my own personal life at this time, in the last 4 months, I've had a whole lot of shaking. Okay? I had where I overdid my adrenal and had a problem with that, and had to start taking a nap every day. I know a lot of people wish they could. I had a hard time with that, and I've had several different things that have happened. And I believe it's God shaking, but why is he shaking? Okay? Anytime God allows those kind of things happen that we don't understand, he's doing it for our good. Now, in my case, I believe God told me why he was shaking. Can we turn to 2 Corinthians? And this is what God spoke to my heart when I was seeking him, saying, God, what's going on here? Because this ain't any fun for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Can we start at verse 7? I'm sorry. Thank you for letting me know. Tell me when we're ready. Okay, are we ready?
No,
you're not ready yet? Okay, just 1 minute. Actually, we'll start at verse 8. It says, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which we had in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired even for our very life. By the way, would you say that's a lot of pressure? Once again, why didn't God relieve the pressure? Because he wanted to use it. And so there's a lot of times when we go through stuff, and I believe as God shakes in this last day, what's he doing? He's trying to bring us into the place to be the bride of Jesus. Okay? And so the shaking is for our good. It's not just to make us nervous. And here's what he said. He said, for we would not, brother, we have you ignorant of the troubles we had in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above our strength, in so much that we despaired, like we felt like we were dying. Verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Listen, here's what God was trying to do. He's saying, I want you to learn to rely on me. How many of you like relying on others? Obviously, the reason he said that is he's saying, you guys are trying to depend on yourself way too much. And so I needed to bring you to the end of yourself so that you would learn to lean on me. So he was actually trying to give them a gift, okay? And he says, and I'm the one that raises the dead. So we don't even have to be afraid of dying in that time, do we? Because he said, hey, I'm the one that brings back the dead. And basically, he wanted them to come back in his strength and his power. So it's nice when God tells us what he's doing so that we can rest in it. I know some people can just go with the flow, but it's nice to know what's happening. And so in this day, and this was Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was one of the most dynamic people in the world, literally the pressure that was on him was so much, he literally said, I feel like I'm going to die. However, if God does that, he does it for our good. During this season that I have gone through a shaking, one of the things that God told me is that as I was going through it, he took me to Psalms 23. And I'd like us to go there and cover it quickly, even though I've already covered it about a month ago. I talked about this some. I want to go back and cover it because I think it's really important we have God's word to stand on. Amen. When we're going through those tough times. Yes. Amen? Because let me tell you something. All that other flesh and all the other things will shake when God is shaking. But his word remains the same. Amen. And so it's really important, especially if God says in these last days, I'm going to shake everything that can shake, and even the heavenlies, it's important that we have a hold of his word that we can stand firmly in those times. And so this is the verse that God gave me, and I want to talk a little bit about what it means to me and why it means what it does to me. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Listen, the reason that really means a lot to me is, if he's your shepherd, what does that mean? He's leading us. Okay. By the way, shepherds don't go from behind. Shepherds go out ahead. They lead. The sheep follow by choice. And basically, here's what God's saying to me. Listen, you don't have to worry. I am your shepherd. I am leading you. That's good to know, isn't it?
Amen.
Because the shepherd would never let anything that will devastate the sheep. Okay? And here's what I hope I get, this comes down, gets down your spirit. Listen, you're not in it alone. You're not in this tough time alone. I am with you, and more than that, I am leading you.
Yes.
Boy, it's nice to talk to yourself when you're going through that stuff. Especially when you're like Paul, where he said, I feel like I'm dying. The pressure and stress is so much, I feel like I'm dying. Let's go on to the next part. I shall not want. What's that saying? God will supply all of my needs. By the way, does that mean he's going to supply you the sub from Subway? If you're going to do that, if you, by the way, you get two for the price of one, if you go online and order it, okay? Just a word. Did you know that? Well, two for the price of one if you go online and order it.
How much they paid you for that little... Well,
you weren't supposed to catch me. Okay. Actually, I've been, because of my adrenal, I've been off most all breads and that kind of stuff, and I'm starting to bring some of that stuff back on. And I had to test it and see how it affected me to eat bread. Subway happens to be one of my favorite meals. And so I suffered through it. I did it twice just to see if two times would. Okay, let's go on. But listen, God is saying, listen, if you will follow me, and I be your shepherd, you will not have to fear even lack.
Amen.
In other words, he's saying, I will provide all of your needs. Thank God. Amen? Let's go on. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. What is it saying?
Peace.
He will rest and peace comes from us following him. And God wants us to walk in his rest and his peace. And when you start getting stirred up, you know, it's really important you realize when you start to get stirred up, you go back to him and say, hey, God, you said you'd lead me into a place of rest and peace. I ask for that rest and peace.
Amen.
Because you're my shepherd.
Amen.
Remind yourself in him, he's your shepherd. Aren't you glad? He's a good shepherd too, by the way. Let's go on. He restores my soul. I really appreciate, what is our soul? Our mind, our will, and our emotions is our soul. Okay? And here's what he's saying. I will restore you. I will refresh you. I will renew you. And so it's really important you realize, and you go to God when you are worn out or you are anxious, you run to him and say, hey, you said you will restore me. Come and restore me, I pray. Amen? Because I am your sheep and you are my shepherd. And so he says, I'll restore you. I'll renew you. I'll refresh you. And so it's time when we're going through those seasons of shaking and all that, that it's important that we learn to go to him. And I say, when he gave me this verse, I'd never spent much time in studying Psalms 23, but I have, literally, there are times I will quote it 2 and 3 times in a day. And take the time to pause and remember who I am to him and who he is to me.
Yes.
And I hope you get this so that when you're going through one of those storms like Paul was, that you will know who you are in him and you will be able to run to him and he will help you through it. He says, he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, he will lead us into his righteousness, not ours. His righteousness. Aren't you glad? You don't have to produce it. You just come to him to get it. Okay? And it's his righteousness that can stand in the times of trial. Aren't you glad for that? I am. I'm thankful. Okay? Yea, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen. You take like Paul. He said, I felt like I'm dying. And here's what God says to you and I when we're in that same place. He's saying, what? You don't have to be afraid.
Amen.
When all the turmoil and all the stuff is going. You know why? Because he's our shepherd. And he is, listen, he is with us. Okay? So, I will fear no evil. In other words, I don't have to be afraid of what appears is coming at me and what's going to hurt me and what's going to... I don't have to fear because he is my shepherd. And even if I'm on the verge of death,
that's right,
and I feel like I'm going to die, I can run to him and say, hey, I don't have to be afraid. Let's go on. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. By the way, who's the enemy? It is not your neighbor. It is not your friend. It's not the person that lives to you. It's not. Because we have a tendency to think people are our enemy. They are not our enemy.
That's right. That's right.
Okay? However, he says, let's read it again. I will fear, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. So even if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I don't have to be afraid. Okay? You will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What does that mean? He's saying, listen, I'm going to take, and as Satan thinks he's going to take you out, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a big table, banqueting table out, and serve you, making a declaration, you ain't taking him out at all.
Amen.
And Satan's going to wish He had never touched you, because hopefully when you come through it, you're going to be that much stronger in Christ. Not in who you are, not in your abilities, but as he said in Corinthians, that you will find God as our strength. You will find him as your shepherd. You'll find him as your provider. You'll find him as the restorer of your soul. You'll find him
as the way maker.
Wow.
Amen. Whatever we need.
However, when the enemy comes along with a lie or a feeling, I had somebody call me and talk to me today and said, I got this feeling. And all I said is, listen, feelings are fickle. Do not build your life on your feelings. You know, this morning you come in here and not feel the presence of God. It doesn't change who he is one bit.
Amen.
God is still God. And when we seek him, we will find him. And so it's important when our fickle feelings are coming at us that we quote this and say, hey man, you're my God, and you're going to lay a presence out, and I'm going to sit there and eat, and Satan looks on, and I have everything that God wants to take care of me with.
Right.
Amen? It's awesome. Okay? He anoints my head with oil. Basically, that's a refreshing. He'll refresh you. And my cup will run over. What will it say? He's going to refresh me, and I'm going to have more than enough. More of everything. Whatever it is, you'll have more than enough, because the cup's going to run over as he meets your every need.
Amen.
Amen? Last but not least, surely what?
Goodness.
God is good.
All the time.
Okay? And he says, my goodness will follow you. Listen, if we will follow him, and he is our shepherd, that he'll meet every need that we have need of. Emotional, spiritual, financial. He says, I will feed you. I will meet all of your needs if you will just make me your shepherd. And I said, here's the one with greatness and mercy. How many of you are glad? Mercy is something you don't earn. It's just yours because you're his. Okay? Shall follow me all the days of my life. Listen, God wants a lifetime relationship with us. But more than that, how does it end up saying it? What's the last few words? He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's it saying? We're going to walk from here right into his presence.
Amen.
Yeah. He's saying, listen, this is a lifetime thing.
Amen.
It's a lifetime thing. And when we get done here, you know what? You're just going to come and be with me for eternity.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Do you realize that psalm covers all of our needs?
Yes.
It's important we understand all we have to do is make him our shepherd. And say, you are my shepherd, and I believe you, and I trust you, and make that declaration. And it's important you take time to talk to yourself. Like I say, I quote this throughout the day, even like when I may be getting tired emotionally and all those kind of things. You know what I say? I say, God, you said you will renew my soul, man. So I'm believing you to renew me now, I pray. Yeah, he even wants you to go to him with that. Okay? Because he is your shepherd. Can we say, the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, by the way. All right. I say all that because you're going to need to know that in a time of shaking.
Yes.
So you turn to him. Because he has no limitations. Okay? He can meet all of our needs. He can satisfy and fulfill us, and he wants to be. All we have to do is say, you're my shepherd. I'm going to follow you. Amen.
Amen?
So, if we're in the season that I think we're in, okay, everything is going to be shaken that can be shaken. But there's nothing for us to fear.
Amen?
Amen? And when you do begin to fear, what do you say? You fickle feelings, you have no sway over me.
Right.
Or the lying, or that lying spirit,
yes,
that's trying to convince you that God won't be faithful, it's important you say, no, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not fear. Amen. So, a time of let me see where I am in my notes. Okay, we got to that point there. I want to close with a whole thought pattern. Talk about something, and maybe it'll get you thinking too. Can we turn to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew chapter 24. It's talking about end times because it's all part of the shaking thing, okay? Matthew 24, verse 10.
Verse what?
10. Did I say it with that northern accent? That what happened? When I came down here, I did not talk like the New Yorker. Okay? I came from upstate New York. Okay? We don't talk like that. We talk right. But I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand the people that live in Florida. They talk, you cannot understand what they say, man. It's like talking to Bernice when she's talking Jamaican, you know?
She's talking English with an accent.
Where am I at? Where did you take me to?
Matthew 24:10.
Okay, Matthew 24:10. And then shall many be offended and shall be betray one another and shall hate one another. So I want to talk about verse 10 for a few minutes. I believe I have, in this shaking time, the Satan's going to try to divide and separate us. Okay? And he's saying, some people are going to buy the Kool-Aid. It's important you and I don't. Okay? It's important you and I learn the love walk. First of all, you need to fully understand the enemy is not a person.
Amen.
Okay? Satan is the enemy. Okay? And so if you're gonna walk in victory over it, it's important that you realize that God says, hey, there's going to be a shaking happening, and one of the things that's going to happen is many are going to be offended and shall betray one another. As that, when the enemy tries to do that, it is important you stand your ground firmly and say, that person is not my enemy.
Amen.
Satan is my enemy.
Yes.
You see, if you buy the coffee or the fruit punch or whatever it is, the lie really is what it is. It's a lie. Okay? The people are the enemy. People are not the enemy. Satan is, and he wants to take us out. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we do not allow the enemy to overwhelm us with the lie. We need to declare, Satan, you're a liar. And one of the things that I spoke a few months ago about is the evidence that we are believers is that we love one another.
Amen.
Okay? Does that mean we won't have any problems?
No.
We are going to have problems because Satan's going to come in and try to create havoc and confusion. That's what he's going to try to do. And it's important that we stand firmly and say, no, Satan, you're the liar. You're the enemy. We will not treat each other as the enemy. Let me see. One of the um, I find it interesting when we're talking about the shaping and all that stuff. I was thinking today about a movie probably all of you have seen. And who's it by?
Corey Ten Boom.
Corey Ten Boom. How many of you have seen Corey Ten Boom, The Hiding Place? You gotta just watch it. It's old as dirt. But the story it has, let me tell you the story of Corey Ten Boom. Corey Ten Boom was a Jew. By the way, she only died last 8 years, 6 years ago, 8 years. Anyway, she was a Jew, and she and her sister and family were put in a concentration camp.
She was not a Jew.
Oh, she wasn't a Jew? Okay.
No, she hid Jews.
Oh, she hid Jews. I'm sorry.
Because of that, they were put in.
Okay. So anyway, the story is, so Corey Ten Boom, her sister, I think, got... What's that?
I think her name was Betty.
But basically what happened was, I think she got put in a concentration camp. She got beat up. She got sexually abused. She got all that kind of stuff and ended up dying. Her parents also died, okay? However, she made it through it. God had her come and begin to talk about forgiveness. And so she went all over the world talking about forgiveness. And she had a lot to forgive. A lot of hurtful stuff hurt her, you know, even the abuse did them, the lack of food, they had problem, health problems as a result of that. And she tells a story. Here's what she tells a story of. One day she went to this meeting and was speaking in the meeting. And after the meeting, this guy comes to walk up to her. And she realized this is the guy that had destroyed her and her family. And she said, I wrestled with all of that. And she had to choose to forgive. And she tells how scary it was, the thought of touching the man that so abused her and her sister and all that kind of stuff. It was a scary thing for them, for her. And yet, she planted her heart that she was going to live out the message that God had given her to live and preach, and that is a message of forgiveness. And she shook his hand and she said it was the most terrifying moment, but after I shook his hands, I was okay inside. Another interesting situation of forgiveness is Joyce Meyer. I don't know how most of you know about Joyce, but her story is, once again, her dad sexually abused her from the time she was a little girl on up to she left home. And, you know, that forgiveness thing was a whole process for her, and it will be for you and I, by the way. It's a journey. If we've had that kind of stuff happen, don't expect to go away overnight. Let God get with people that can help you to do the process of forgiving and so on and so forth, dealing with your sinful response and all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting, later on in life, after she had done a lot of healing, God said to her, I want you to take your dad and mom and get them a place. Now, she'd had interactions, part of dealing with that stuff is you have to face it and deal with it right. And forgive. She dealt with forgiveness and so on. Why would God ever ask her to do that? Let me tell you what I believe. I believe somebody's sneaking in. I believe the reason God chose her to do that was to finish the healing.
Yes.
Because he wanted her to have a mighty message of forgiveness. Corey Ten Boom, why did God bring that guy to her meeting? He wanted to finish the work that he had begun. He didn't do it to hurt her. He didn't have Joyce. The cool thing with Joyce is she went regularly. She got a house for them. She went regularly and visited them and so on and so forth. Even though, are you ready to listen, you feelers? Even though she never felt like going to visit him. You see, we can only do that when we know the Lord's our shepherd. But I believe what did it do? It gave her a powerful message of forgiveness that could only happen under such drastic situations that we who, by the way, some people are struggling with forgiving the fact that somebody sat in their seat at church. I mean, you know where everybody sits, right?
Yeah. So
don't you touch some of those sanctified places. No, there's people that get offended over such petty stuff, like it or not. If you don't know it, it's true, okay? And don't you mess with my seat either. Okay. But God wanted to give us, listen, if we are gonna walk the way God wants, we are gonna have to work at forgiveness and refuse to allow the enemy to separate us, because listen, God's already warned us. Listen, Satan's going to come in and try to separate you and I as a body of Christ, and we must put our foot down and say we will not let it happen.
Amen.
By God's grace, as God gives us the grace and the opportunity and the wisdom, we will not, okay, let the enemy separate and divide us. Another one that is really interesting is Joseph. Joseph's brothers mistreated him. He ended up, you know the story, he ended up in Potiphar's house and became the head of the, taking care of Potiphar's everything, and then he got lied about. He ended up spending 12 to 14 years, depending on your math, 12 to 14 years in prison for not messing with the guy's wife. By the way, I believe Potiphar knew his wife had done that. He, okay. I love what happens when his brothers come. He doesn't say, aha, this is my opportunity to get the last word. I love what he said. He looked at them, and he wasn't angry at God. By the way, he didn't get bitter with God, because God allowed those things to happen. Because listen, when we know the Lord is our shepherd, he's going to walk us through all that stuff, and we aren't going to do it alone. And so we actually grow in our relationship during those times. Amen? And he had grown so much that when his brothers came, here was his interpretation of what had happened. What you meant for evil, God meant for... Look at Joyce Myers can say the same thing.
Yep.
You realize she got to lead her dad to Jesus. Hey, she saw that as a privilege. She didn't say, no, I want him to get what he has rightfully coming. I want him to go to hell. No, because she had worked through the hurts and the wrongs and all that, to the point of saying, God did it, you didn't. And God's good. Okay, so it's really important, if we're going to make it through the shaking time, it's really important that you and I plant our feet, okay, and say, listen, yes, the shaking's coming, and God's doing it for our good. And I'm going to embrace it, but I will not allow anything to enter into my heart that's unlike him. You okay, buddy? Okay. You okay? Okay. Because the enemy wants to sneak in, and God's already warned us. He said, listen, there's going to become a divisive spirit that's going to affect you and separate you from your family, from your friends, from the church, whatever the case may be, wherever it is, and try to separate and divide you. And it is important that you put your foot down and say, I will not give Satan place. Because Satan's the enemy, not people.
Amen.
And I will forgive. I don't care, by the way, I don't care how it feels. I mean, I, when you look, and the interesting thing is, God chose at least these three that I'm aware of to give us an example of real forgiveness, true forgiveness, of refusing to separate each other and divide each other, because God has called us His body. And so I just want to challenge us and encourage us. The Bible tells us in the last days there's going to be a shaking. It also tells us there's going to be a divisive thing going on. And I just want to warn you ahead of time and pay attention, memorize Psalms 23. Because it will help you to remember He is your shepherd. And even when what you're going through, you can end up being like Joseph, or you can end up being like Joyce Meyer and say, you know what? God led me here. And Joyce, here's Joyce's statement. She said, I don't want you to take this wrong, but she said, I am glad for what I went through because it may be an instrument that God can use for His glory. And that so many people can get set free. But they only got set free because she knew how to forgive. And she sets an example for us. And just like Corrie Ten Boom, she sets an example. Here she finally faces a guy that so abused her. But because of her relationship with God, she could forgive.
Amen.
Okay? So it's a warning. So when it comes, it's important we respond correctly. Amen? Well, was that good news or bad news or the mixture of both? Huh? Well, let me tell you something. If you read Psalm 23, it's good news. Because we aren't going through it alone. And you know what He's doing? He's trying to prepare us to be the bride. I believe Christ is coming soon. And He's trying to prepare you and I. There are things that we are totally blind to, that if we don't go through that stuff, we're not going to be the bride that Christ wants us to be. He wants us to be the bride without spot or wrinkle. Amen? And God uses those things to do that work in us. Amen? All right. Whew.
Amen.
God, we thank You.
Yes.
For the truth.
Yes, Lord.
Even though some of the stuff You say really could be scary. That there's going to be a shaking. That there's going to be a divisive things that separates and divides the body. All that can be scary. But it's not. Because we've made You our shepherd. And You are leading us. You are guiding us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will meet all of our needs, emotional, financial, spiritual needs. You will meet them all because we have made You our shepherd. And God, give us eyes to see that we won't be deceived, that we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free, and that we might be Your people. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. What's that? I can't hear. Oh, yes. By the way, I wanted to do communion. If I can get a couple people up here to help me. Can I get a couple other people here to help me? If you'll just hold it. Here you go. No, you can go ahead and start handing out. If you'll hold it, we'll take it together. Bless You, Lord. We celebrate You today. Hallelujah. To you be glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you. Deep breath. Okay, thank you. Is there anybody that didn't get communion? The reason I want to do communion is a thing that binds us together in this room. Yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's interesting, we come from all kinds of backgrounds, different nations, different communities, different races. What is it that binds us together in this place? It is the blood of Jesus. And Satan wants to tear that apart. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let that happen. Here's the problem. Either you're part of the family or you're not. And it's all determined by the blood of Jesus. There's only one body. There's only one family. There's only one Father. And we can't disown each other. Because the blood of Jesus speaks against that. Because it's His blood. It's by His blood we are saved. By His stripes we are healed. Thank God for His blood. I just want to celebrate Him today. He said when Jesus was with them, He took the bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body given for you." Okay? He suffered so we can be well. Shall we partake of that together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just pray for a release of healing. Emotionally, physically, mentally. Oh, God. Let your power flow through our bodies and our beings this morning as we acknowledge you, that you, O God, are our healer. Hallelujah. Heal every bit of brokenness, every sickness, every disease, every lying spirit. Oh, God, we just declare that you, God, you, O Lord, you're the thing that binds us together. Hallelujah. He said when He took the cup and He said, this is a cup that makes you whole and pure and clean before me. It's not your actions. It's not what we do. He's saying, listen, this is the thing that because of what I did, you are righteous. You are pure. You are holy. Even Peter. Yes. So Jesus, today, we declare we're a part of that family by taking this together. Yes. And we just ask you to bind us together. Because you've warned us there's going to be a shaking, that there's going to be a divisive thing that tries to separate us. But we stand against that lying spirit, and we just speak. Oh God, we speak love, we speak unity, we speak goodness and care. As we partake of this together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We bless you. We just magnify you. We just stand steadfast against every lying spirit. It wants to separate and divide. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That can bridge any gap. Thank you for your mercy and goodness that's new every morning. We just worship you and we bless you. And that you called us and have chosen us and made us a part of your family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Do that work that only you can do in us. We make ourselves available. God, you said you're going to finish that good work which you have begun. And you'll build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We stand in you, O Lord, and you alone, in our strength, and not in your strength, not our strength. We thank you, God, for all your promises from Psalms 23, O God, that we can walk with boldness and confidence in you, because it's you, O God. And we bless your name. Go with us, I pray, O God, as we go. Might you bless our fellowship. Might you strengthen our bodies. And might you direct our weeks, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Enjoy your time of fellowship.